Today's shiur is Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chaf Gimel, and we're going to begin on Daf Chaf Beis, Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. As we had learned in the previous shiur, the Mishnah taught us that originally the system of notifying the people in Chutz Laaretz when Rosh Chodesh was declared was they had this system of setting off fires on the mountains with a relay system from one mountain to the next mountain, and that's how they notified people when Rosh Chodesh was declared. We know, and we've discussed this, Baruch Hashem, many times in our shiurim in the last couple of days, that a Jewish month can only have 29 or 30 days. That's the max. Moreover, if we understand, the next understanding is, that means Rosh Chodesh is always either day 30 from last Rosh Chodesh, or day 31 from last Rosh Chodesh. If it was a 29-day month, Rosh Chodesh is the first day of the next month is on day 30. If it was a 30-day month, Rosh Chodesh is on day 31. If Rosh Chodesh is on day 30, it's considered that it was seen bizmanai. It was seen the proper time. Rosh Chodesh is the proper time. Tan Rabbon, Amos Simasus, we only lit these fires, Ela Chodesh Nir Bizmano Lakachai. That means if day 30 was Rosh Chodesh, that's the time that we light the fire. The Amos Simasian, Lori Burai. That means if today is day 30, and today was declared Rosh Chodesh being day 1 of the new month, we would put on the fire tonight. If, however, tomorrow, which is day 31, was considered Rosh Chodesh, was made Rosh Chodesh, then it's Rosh Chodesh, but there's no need to, they won't make any fire. Lememra, the Chosar Avdinen, if the previous month was a Chodesh Chosar, a month of only 29 days, and day 30 was Rosh Chodesh, then we lit the fires. Amalei, but if the previous month was a 30-day month, and day 31 was Rosh Chodesh, Loy Avdinen, then we don't light a fire. So ask the Gemara, my Tama. So the way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara's question is two ways. Turyevin explains it quite simply. Why do we only put on a fire on a month when the previous month was a 29-day month? Why don't we just put on the fire the night after Rosh Chodesh? So if day 30 is Rosh Chodesh, put on the fire on the night of day 30. If day 31 is Rosh Chodesh, put on the fire on the night of 31. If we want to get people notified, so shouldn't we notify them every month, and the Farshim being a very nice raya. Because as we know, as we already learned the Mishnah on Daf Yud Ches, the Mishnah says that now, in the next phase, when they didn't rely on fires, and they sent out messengers for 6 months a year, they sent out messengers whether it was a Chodesh Malay or Chodesh Chaser. So just like we send out messengers, when we see the need to send out messengers, we don't differentiate if it's a Chodesh Malay or Chodesh Chaser, we shouldn't differentiate when we set up a fire. And every month, the night after Rosh Chodesh, we should light this fire. The Rosh Hash and the Pnei Yeshua have even a more interesting perspective on how to explain the Gemara. What is our whole concern? We learned this in the Mishnah yesterday. That the Kutim are going to manipulate. That the fire is supposed to be lit tonight, was not supposed to be lit tonight, and they'll put on a fire. And now, everybody in Chutz Laaretz will have the wrong day for Rosh Chodesh. Says the Rosh Hash and Pnei Yeshua, if we're always going to light a fire when it's Rosh Chodesh, it's a much easier way of preventing the Kutim from making trouble. Because if they, let's say today is day 30, and it was Rosh Chodesh, and they put on a fire tonight, by us putting on a fire tomorrow night, everybody in Chutz Laaretz will know that last night's fire was just a manipulation of the Kutim. So if anything, we should always put on a fire the night after Rosh Chodesh. Why are we only putting on fire on the night, if Rosh Chodesh is declared on day 30? Answers the Gemara, Amr of Zera, Gzera Mishum Rosh Chodesh Chaser Shechal Yisperv Shabbos. Let's say day 30 is on Friday. Amos Avdi, when would you put on the fire? Befuki Shabbos. We're going to put it on Friday night. Can't put it on Friday night. So you're going to wait to Matzah Shabbos. Matzah Shabbos is day 31. So now people are going to say, that if we put on fires, both by day 30 and day 31, So now when the fire was put on Matzah Shabbos, why was it put on Matzah Shabbos? Not because Shabbos was Rosh Chodesh. It was put on because Friday was Rosh Chodesh, but they couldn't put on a fire Friday night. Asr Leviti. So the people are going to get confused. Amri, they're going to say, hi, Chasahu. Really, Rosh Chodesh was on Friday. For hi, Deloy Eved Me'esmael. Why don't we put on the fire until Matzah Shabbos? Mishum Deloy Efshur. Because I can't put it on Friday night. Or they may think, Dilma Molehau. And really, Rosh Chodesh was on Shabbos. And that's why they put on the fire Matzah Shabbos. So because of this situation, people won't know what's going on. And that's why we had to choose that we only put on when there's a Chodesh Chasr. Ask the Gemara, Vilam Evit, why can't we still follow a procedure of putting on a fire Bein HaMoli Bein HaChasr, both when the Chodesh is 29 or 30 days? The Kim Mikla Rosh Chodesh Be'er Shabbos, if Rosh Chodesh comes out on Friday, Loi Levit Klal. If Rosh Chodesh comes out on Friday, that month we won't make any fire. The Kim and the Loi Avdina Matzah Shabbos, if no fire was lit this month at all, Vavdina Namoli, even though normally we do light a fire, Matzah Rosh Chodesh, so people are going to understand, Meidi Yadi, they're going to understand the Chasahu, because they're going to say like this. Normally we light the fire Matzah Rosh Chodesh. When was Rosh Chodesh Friday? This month all of a sudden there were no fires. Why was there no fire? It must be because Rosh Chodesh was Friday, and we couldn't make a fire Friday night, so that's why. But that shouldn't be a reason that every month of the year, where we don't have the Shabbos problem, we should light a fire, whether it's Mole or Chasr. Answers the Gemara. Afilo Hachi, Aslamiti. This is not a perfect solution, because people still can make an error. Emre Hai Molihu. They're going to say, really this month, it wasn't that Friday was declared Rosh Chodesh. And the reason there was no fire this month is because Friday can't, because they couldn't light a Friday fire Friday night. They'll say, you know what day was Rosh Chodesh? Shabbos. So why didn't they make a fire Friday night? V'hai deloi avdi, why didn't they make the fire Matzah Shabbos? It's nusi u'dus nasi. They got drunk Shabbos, that'd be Kiddush in Shabbos, and they forgot to make the fire. So people are not going to say the fire wasn't made because Friday was Rosh Chodesh. We're concerned people are going to attribute that the fire wasn't made because they forgot to make the fire. Says the Gemara, V'lev dam moli v'lev adachasar. So says the Gemara, good. So now we proved why we have to make a fire only for one type of month. Because we have this situation. So ask the Gemara, why did we choose to make the fire when it's chasar and not when it's mole? Why don't we just do the opposite? Why do we make the fire when it's mole and not when it's chasar? In other words, when day 31 is Rosh Chodesh, we make the fire, and not day 30. Ask Tosfos the obvious question. If day 31 is Rosh Chodesh, and day 31 was Shabbos, and they're going to see that no fire was made Matzah Shabbos, they're not going to say because it was Rosh Chodesh, they're going to say because they were Shikr. So how could the Gemara even propose this suggestion? So Tosfos and Rashi say a very simple answer. They say, this concern that people are going to say the reason fire wasn't made is because people, the people who were in charge of making this fire got drunk and didn't do their job. It's a little far-fetched, right? People do what they're supposed to do, especially these. It's a chashuva position. It's a significant position. Just what? If every month we light a fire, and all of a sudden one month we didn't light a fire, so people are not going to attribute it because you don't light a fire every month. Because we know we light a fire every month. So they're going to say, you know why you didn't light a fire? It must have been because they got drunk. There's another natural reason to explain it. However, says Tosfos, if there's a natural situation, if there's a normal situation where fires are not lit, when? They only light a fire by Moli, not by Chasr. So if they see a fire not lit, they're not going to attribute it to some far-fetched excuse that the people were drunk. They say, because it was a Chodesh Mali, it was a Chodesh Chasr. Therefore, we don't have that concern. Turi Evin, as Fasem say, a different answer. beautiful answer. They say like this. Let's say we're only lighting a fire on a month that's Mali, not Chaser. Truthfully, it could go the other way. Or a month that's Chaser, not Mali. And Rosh Chodesh comes out to be Friday. Okay? And Friday night, we couldn't light the fire. So you know what we'll do? We'll light the fire. We don't have to light the fire Friday night. We don't have to light the fire Matzah Shabbos. Matzah Shabbos, they were drunk. They forgot. We'll light the fire Monday night. It doesn't make a difference when you light the fire. If the fire only represents either that it's Mali or it's Chaser, whenever the fire is lit, it's fine. But that's only if the fire represents only one option. If the fire represents both options, so by lighting it Monday night, there's no instruction to come along with the fire. And therefore, as soon as we're only lighting the fire for one of the two types of Rosh Chodesh, these concerns fall away.
Yeah, but if it's going to be a Mole on a Friday night, then they can't light Friday night.
So you light Matzah Shabbos, or you light Sunday night. And people will realize the fires are only lit for Mole. That's the Gemara's Kasha. That Tur Evans explained the Gemara's Kasha. That we'll only light for Mole, so whenever the fire is lit, it's lit the week later. That's a proof that it was Mole. Because there's only fires lit for Mole months. V'levet ha-Mole, v'loy levet ha-Chasa klal. So the Gemara's question is, yes, we're accepting you only light for one type of month. But why do we choose to only light for Chasa months? Why do we choose to light for only Mole months? Amar Abaya, shem bitl ma'ochel am shnei yomim. So the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, how to explain this Gemara. Rashi explains the Gemara this way. Rashi says that Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah could be day 30 or day 31. But the Rosh Hashanah is only one day. This we all know from Masechta Beyah. So if Rosh Hashanah is day 30, and that means the previous month was Chaser, 29 days were Elul, day 30 was the first day of Tishrei. Then, let's say that comes out to be on a Tuesday. Tuesday night we light the fire. So everybody in Chutz La'aretz knows that which day was Rosh Hashanah? Tuesday. Wednesday is a work day. People could go to work. But it, because we're lighting only on Chaser, not a Mole. But if we only light fires for Mole, not Chaser, what are people in Chutz La'aretz going to have to do? They're going to have to hold Tuesday, Wednesday, Rosh Hashanah. Because they don't know till Wednesday night if a fire is going to come on or off. So then, and then they ended up keeping Rosh Hashanah Wednesday, not going to work on Wednesday, and it turns out Rosh Hashanah was Tuesday. So that's why Chazal say, make the fire on the first day, not on the second day. That's the way Rashi learns. Tosfos learns that there's a minhag that women don't work on Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh was declared as a yontif for women. Why was it declared as a yontif for women? So Mefarshim explained, because women did not contribute to the Egel Hazav. So the exact same concern. Let's say Rosh Chodesh, a regular Rosh Chodesh, not Rosh Hashanah, is Tuesday, Wednesday. So the women won't work on Tuesday, because it may be Rosh Chodesh. If we don't make a fire until Wednesday night, they also won't work on Wednesday. Then it turns out the Rosh Chodesh was Tuesday, and they didn't work Wednesday for no reason. So that's why we make the fire on Tuesday night, not on Wednesday night. We make it a Chaser, not a Mole. Why doesn't Tosfos like Rashi's Pshat? Because Tosfos' Pshat speaks to every month of the year. And Rashi's Pshat only speaks to one month of the year, to Rosh Hashanah. I saw a very interesting question. The Mefarshim asked, according to Tosfos, what are we concerned? That the women will end up now working both days. And it turns out they should have perhaps worked on Wednesday. It wasn't Rosh Chodesh. Ask the Mefarshim, this minig of not working, it's a minig. It's not even the Rabbanon. It's less than the Rabbanon. We have a rule, Suffolk to Rabbanon, Lekul. If there's a Suffolk, we're Mekel. Certainly if it's a Suffolk, it's Rosh Chodesh, and may women work on that. So we go Lekul, so it could work either way. So what's the concern, according to Tosfos? So I saw a very big Yesoid, a very big Klal, in Hilchus, Suffolk Lekula. When do we say Suffolk Lekula? Suffolk Lekula, we say, is in a certain circumstance, we have a Shaila. So no, the Halacha is throughout Shas, Suffolk to Rabbanon Lekula. But if by following the suffix, we'll never have the halacha observed, in this case, if every month, since we don't know when it's Rosh Chodesh, we'll say women should work, so when will women not work? Women in Chutz La'aretz that don't know when Rosh Chodesh was declared. To use this rule of suffix to Rabbanon Lekula, which will eliminate the halacha entirely, is unacceptable. And therefore we can't apply it in this case. Continues the Gemara. Ketari Mesir Mesuas, how did they light these torches? Mavin Klunsus, we learned in the Mishnah, brought these long boards, and like that, they start long boards and they started making the fire. Ami Huda Dali Mina Rosenheim, the four types of cedar wood. Why do we have to know cedar wood? We're not in the lumber business. So Taisa says, regarding Mecca Chamemka, if I make a contract with you that I'm going to buy from you cedar wood, and you give me one of the types that the Gemara lists, then you kept your bargain. You kept your part of the deal. If you give me something else, then you weren't honest, and the deal is a mekachtos. What are the four types? Eris, Katrum, Eich Shemin, Ubarosh. So the Gemara defines everyone. The Gemara defines everyone. Katros, what is Katroim? Omerav Adra. If you remember when we learned Masech Debeya, there's an Adra tree, Eder. The Meir of Shili Amri, Mavliga. It's a Mavliga tree, Vamri Laim, Zugomish. Of Pligid Rabbi Rafuna, this is in disagreement with Rabbi Rafuna said, Dom Rabbi Rafuna, Mabe Rav, Asar Mine Rosamheim. He said that there are four types of cedar trees, and he says that there are ten. Shinema, because the Pasuk says, Etem Bemidbar, Eret Shita Vadas, Veit Shemin. In the Midbar, there's Eret Shita Hadas and Eit Shemin. And Osan Barova, in the desert, there is Broish, Tidur, Vesasher, Yachtav. I'll put all of these together. Erez is Arza, that's the cedar tree. Shita is Tornisa. Tornisa is a pine. Hadas is Asa, that's the Hadasim that we have on Sukkos. Eit Shemin is a Farsim, is a balsam tree. Tidur, Broish is Barasa, Baxwood. Tidur is Shaga, it's a fir. And Tasher is Shurvina. As the Gemara, you said that there are 10 types of cedar. If we look in the Pasuk, Hani Shiva have, there are only 7. Answers the Gemara, Ka'asar of Dimi Amar, Hasif Alayim, they added 3 more types. Aloinim, Almoinim, and Almoigim. Aloinim is Butmi, Elm. Almoinim is Baluti, is an oak. And Almoigim is Kasisa. It's coral that we have at the bed of the sea, which the Gemara will discuss in a moment a little more. Ikad Amri, what are the 3 additional types? Aroinim, Armoinim, Almogin. Aroinim is Ori, laurel. Armoinim is Dovi, chestnuts. Almoigim is Kasisa, is the coral. There's a pasuk that says in Yeshaya, V'tzir Adir Lo Yavirenu. A large boat will not be able to pass this river, this nachal, that will come out of the base of Migdash. What does this mean? Amrav Zuburni Gedoyle, a large ship. Hecha Avdu, why do I need to have these large ships? Says the Gemara. Maisi Shis Alpha Gafri, they bring 6,000 people, Betresa Yachashata, have them on the boat for 12 months. Vamila and others say, we have Tresa Alpha Gavri, 12,000 people, Bishita Yachashata for 6 months. The Farshim explained, this is really a perspective, how to look at your labor force. Is it better to have more workers for less time, or to have less workers for more times? It's a management issue. V'tana lechala, and they fill up the boat with sand, add the shachna, until there's so much sand in the boat that it's sinking. V'nachs be'amaroi, and we send in a diver into the sea. V'kater atuni dekitna bekisasa, he ties a rope of flax to the coral. V'kater lebesfinsa, and he ties the other side to the ship. And as Rashi explains, the ship is, the coral is found in water that's very shallow. So since the water is shallow, the ship goes all the way down. And then, the naklichal, they take out the sand from the ship, the shadal of roy, and throw it out of the ship. And as you throw out the sand, the ship goes up. The kam de madla, as the ship goes up, akra, it uproots the coral which is set in the sea, omasya. And like that you could get the coral. Says the Gemara, omachlif alchat shrein bekaspa. Coral is a much more expensive material than silver. For every ounce, for every 2 ounces of silver, you get 1 ounce of coral. Silver is half the price of coral. Tlas parvasahavian. There are 3 ports train Be'amoy, two are by the Armenians, V'chad the Bay Persuim, and one are by the Greeks, by the Persians. The Be'amoy mask and kisses her. In the Armenian ports, they used to sell coral. The Bay Persuim mask and magnesium. In the Persian port, they sold pearls. On Makarye, that port is called Parvosa de Meshamek. Omar, Rabbi Yochanan, kol shita v'shita, every piece of wood, should not munachem Yerushalayim, that the goyim took from Yerushalayim. We know the Beis HaMikdash was built from shita wood. Also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lachzir lanu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure we get back what's ours. Shenemar, etein b'midbar erez shita. I will put back in the midbar the shita wood. V'midbar Yerushalayim. Shenemar, Tzion midbar haisa. The Yerushalayim is called a midbar, and the pasuk, the Navi, is telling us that we will get back this wood. V'am Rabbi Yochanan, kol aloy mitayr v'enem melamda. Whoever teaches Torah knows how to learn Torah. V'enem melamda, and doesn't teach it to other. If somebody is a Talmud Chacham and he has the ability to teach Torah and he doesn't, doimel hadas lamidbar. Hadas gives off a beautiful fragrance. But what do we have from this fragrance in the desert? There's no one walking there. Similarly, if somebody is a Talmud Chacham, but he doesn't benefit the community from his Liman HaTorah, what use do we have from it? Ikadami kol aloy mitayr melamda. If somebody knows Torah and teaches it, but makom shein Talmud Chacham, he goes to a place where there is no Torah available, and he teaches people who don't know Torah, doimel hadas b'midbar. It's wonderful. The Chaviv, you're going into a desolate desert with nothing, and all of a sudden you find a beautiful hadas that gives off a great fragrance. Isn't that a wonderful feeling? Here too, if you have a place where there's nobody learning Torah, and somebody comes, a Talmud Chacham comes, and does take the initiative to teach Torah to a place, and to people who are not exposed to Torah, Chaviv, that's so beautiful. Vam Rabbi Yochanan. How terrible is it for the goyim? They have no hope. Shnema, in other words, when we say they have no hope, they ended up in a very bad place. Shnema, tachas nechoshes avizov. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, for every piece of copper that they took from us, they're going to have to replace it with gold. Vesachas habarzel avikesef. For all the metal they took, they're going to have to replace it with silver. Vetachas etzem, for all the wood, they're going to have to replace it with nechoshes. The Sachas Havonim and all the stones they took Barzel. The morale explains the Gemara. We know there's a concept of Mi'ila Behegdish. If somebody uses something from Hegdish, he has to repay Hegdish. But he doesn't only repay Hegdish the value of what he took, he has to add a Chaimish, an extra fifth. Here too, the Goyim, they're going to have to repay Klal Yisrael for everything that they took from us, won't just pay us back what they took, they're going to have to add extra. However, makes the Gemara an observation. Tachs Rekiva v'chaveirov. Rekiva, who we know was from one of the Surah and Ruge Malchus, he was killed by the Goyim. V'chaveirov, some of Farshim explained that's referring not only to Rekiva, but the other Surah Ruge Malchus. And others say it doesn't mean Tafka that Surah Ruge Malchus. It means all the Jews over generations who have been killed by the Goyim, Maimavian, they can't be replaced. V'aleim who oimer, regarding such people, the Pasuk says, in the Casey Dummel and the Casey, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot forgive the blood, the innocent Jewish blood that they spilled. And the Mefarshim I saw explain it this way. Every Jew, every day, grows, or should grow, learning Torah, doing mitzvahs. If a Jew's life is cut off, and he's not given that opportunity to continue growing, that can never be repaired. Because once a person leaves this world, he can't grow anymore. And that's something that's irreplaceable. There's an interesting tshuva in the Chasam Sofer based on this Gemara. The Chasam Sofer says that this pasuk that's referring to Rabbi Akiva starts with the words Avir Yaakov. And the words of the letters of Avir Yaakov make up Rabbi Akiva. But the Chasam Sofer says from here we see a shaila. Because there's always a shaila in the pasukim, how is Akiva spelled? Is it spelled with an aleph at the end? Or with a hay at the end. So that's the Chasam Sofer, since we see that the pasuk refers to Avi Yaakov being Rabbi Akiva. And how is that being spelled with an aleph at the end? So it's a raya that when you spell the name Akiva, it should be spelled with an aleph, not with a hey. So we learned in the Mishnah, from where did they bring the fire in Beis Baltan? My Beis Baltan. Where is Beis Baltan? Amar Rava Zubiram. That's a city called Biram. My Goyla. Where, we said that they lit the fires all the way into the Goyla. What is that? Amar Yosu Pumbadisa. Mepharshim explained Pumbadisa was the city where the greatest yeshivas were, and that's why that was the main center of Jewish life in Bavel. My Kumdur Seish. So Mishnah said it looked like a large fire. After they finished this relay system, and everybody in the Golos became aware that it's Rosh Chodesh, and they wanted to publicize it, so everybody went to the roof of his home and put on a fire, and like that everybody knew there was Rosh Chodesh. Tanya B'Shimon Elazar Omer. Also, these city on these mountains were fires lit. Ikadamri. So there's a machlokes. What does this mean? Some say Beni Beni Kaim. These were mountains between Biram and Pambadisa, and these were mountains on which fires were lit. Ikadamri lahaki sederes yisol havekaimi. The mountains that are referred to in the Mishnah and the Gemara previously on one side of Israel. Now we have to get on the other side. And that these refer to the other side. The Mishnah and the previous Gemara was referring to one side of Israel, and now we're referring to another side of Israel. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ben kol achas v'achas, between each mountain is shmeina betzos. There's about eight persos, which is approximately 2.5-3 miles. Kama havelhu, how much distance is there total? Tars v'tartan, 32 parsa, says the Gemara, we see that the distance from Bira to Pumbadisa is a lot more than 32 parsa. So what he's saying, it's only 32 parsim. Omer Abai is Stumumi Stumila Darchi. The roads of Israel got closed up, and therefore it's not a straight way, and since it's not a straight way, it takes up much more distance. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says in Hosea, L'chein Hinei Soch Estarach Chabasirim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he's going to fill up our ways with obstacles. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Mahakad Ksiv Nisivai Say Iva. My roots, Nisivai means the root, Iva became more circular and you can't travel straight. Taisus discusses that we see that the distance of Israel is much larger. How does the Gemara say that it was 32 Amos? So again, the Mefarshim discuss the matters of you go with a straight line or you go with a circular route. But I saw another pshat, a very beautiful pshat that we should all live with. Eretz Yisrael, we learned, is called Eretz Tzvi. It's called the land of a deer. Why is it called the land of a deer? Because there's an interesting phenomenon with a deer. If you strip a deer of its skin and you try to put it back on, it wouldn't fit. It, so to speak, is expandable. Eretz Yisrael is a small country. So we live with the Muna. The Mashiach is coming. All the Jews of the world are going to go to Eretz Yisrael. How will there be room for all of us in Eretz Yisrael? So the Gemara says, Eretz Yisrael is as big as you need it to be. So in those times, they didn't have so many people living in this area, so there's only 32 parsa. As it became inhabited, it, so to speak, expands and takes up more room. Chatz Gedol Hayis B'Yerushalayim, continues the Mishnah, there was a large chatz in Yerushalayim, or Beis Yazik Hayis on the cross, was called Beis Yazik. L'Sham Kol Ha'Edim Miskansen, over there, all the Edim, like we learned, everybody who saw should come, Obezdim Baitkanasam, Shama, they were examined. And we'll talk more about the examinations in the next Mishnah. For Sudas Gedolus Isis Lahem, they made them large meals, Bishir Shirgilim Lovai, that they should want to come because they're going to get a good meal. So there's a number of points that the Mefarshim make. Some, there's a machlokes, what does Sudas Gedolus mean? Some Mefarshim say Sudas Gedolus mean they gave them a good meal. Others say Sudas Gedolus were that the Gedolei Yisrael attended those meals, so everybody wanted to be part of the meal where all the Gedolim were. There's another Machlokes. When did they always make the meal, or was the meal only made on Shabbos? Because as we're going to learn in a moment, on Shabbos, these Edom cannot travel any further. So now the Shaila is the meal only on Shabbos because they can't go anywhere, so we want to give them to eat? Or even during the week, giving them an incentive is worthwhile that they should want to come again, say Edom. So the night of Yehuda and the Tzais ask the Shaila. The halacha is that a person who gets paid to say testimony is a disqualified witness. So how could they get paid with these large meals? So the Noida Behuda answers, that din is only where somebody can have a personal interest in saying Eidus. So we're concerned if he's going to get paid. Let's say somebody says, I saw Reuven borrow money from Shimon. So maybe he has some sort of interest. So he gets paid, he's disqualified. Nobody has a personal interest when Rosh Chodesh was. So there's no disqualification if they get paid, and we could give him a big meal. Others say that the meal was only a schar betalah. In other words, like we said ago, we had to feed them. They came from far away. They need to eat. It wasn't in terms of payment. And a third pshat that I saw, interesting pshat, is not that they came, so they declared it Rosh Chodesh. If it's Rosh Chodesh, you have to eat a Sudas Rosh Chodesh. So this was the Sudas Rosh Chodesh. There's another machlokes.
So, but it wasn't Rosh Chodesh, for whatever reason they were... So they'll
get the meal on Rosh Chodesh. Well, if they were disqualified, yeah. I guess generally...
They wouldn't get a meal if it's not Rosh
Chodesh. They wouldn't get a meal, maybe. They'll only get a meal if it's Rosh Chodesh. Then I saw Shaila, when did they get the meal? This works very well with your Shaila. Did they get the meal before they said Eidus? Or they set the meal after they said Eidus? So I guess it depends on which teretz you learn like. If it's a Sudas Rosh Chodesh, it has to be after the testimony. If you learn because they're hungry, it's before they said testimony. If they arrived in Shabbos, and they had traveled, and it's past the Tchum, so they can't move from there all day. Rabbi Gamliel said that since, again, as we've been learning so many times, we don't want to prevent them from coming. So if they know they're going to come to Yerushalayim and they're going to have to stay within four amos, they're never going to want to leave. So therefore, Rabbi Gamliel said they have 2,000 amos. So Taisus asks, the Gemara says in Masechet Erevin that if somebody comes to a city that's outside of his tchum, if the city has a wall, he could walk in the entire city. So Yerushalayim has a wall around it. So how do we need to make a special rule? Yerushalayim has a wall. So Taisus says the Mishnah is referring to the time after the wall of Yerushalayim was already broken, and therefore they couldn't walk around the whole city. The Meiri says, and I think Taisus is trying to allude to that also, it could be if there's a wall, even if part of his breach, it's still considered a wall. When the Gemara says they get 2,000, when the Mishnah says they got 2,000 amah, it means they got 2,000 amah outside of the city. The whole city, for sure they could walk, because the whole city is considered Dalet Amos. What the Gamliel did for them is said that not only can you walk the whole city, you can walk 2,000 Amos past the city. Not only these people, are we giving them this leniency? If a midwife comes to help a woman deliver, a fireman, a soldier, a pilot, if they come to a city which was outside of the Tchum, they consider like the city. So the Machloikis, Mischas Chinuch discusses the Shaila. We've discussed that the Tchum is only the Rabbonim. But some Tanoim, Rabbi Kiva, and the Rambam Paskins like Rabbi Kiva, says Tchum of less than 12 mil is only the Rabbonim. But let's say a Tchum of 12 mil, that's a Daraisa. So the Mischas Chinuch wants to suggest that this leniency that Rabbi Gamliel instituted was only when the people only walked out of a Tchum Derabonon. So since it's a Derabonon, he was Mekel. But if these people walked past the Tchum Deraisa, he can't be Mekel. Others say he was even Mekel by Tchum Deraisa, because that's all included in the Heter that we're Mekel Chil Shabbos, as we learned yesterday, for Adam. Rabbi Moshe uses this Mishnah for a very famous Pesach of his. He says if we look at the Mishnah, It's somewhat of a difficult Mishnah to understand. The Mishnah says, not only for Eidus HaChodesh do we give them leniencies, we also give them leniencies if somebody came to save a woman or help a woman have a baby or a person was sick. Says Rav Moshe, which is more important, saving a life or Kiddush HaChodesh? So we know one of the principles of our halacha is Pikuach Nefesh is Doicha Kol HaTorah Kula. So why is the Gemara saying, as Rav Moshe, why is the Mishnah saying, that not only somebody comes to say Kiddush HaChodesh is mutter, but even somebody who came to save a life, He should have said just the opposite. Not only will somebody saves a life, we're mekel, even somebody says Kiddush HaChodesh, we're mekel. So Moshe says that the mission has come to teach us a very big chiddush. We know that to save a life, we're allowed to do everything. So the doctor went to the hospital to save a life. The Hatzalah went to help someone. And they saved a life. They did what they're supposed to do. Now the question is, are they allowed to go back? So one could argue, they're not saving a life anymore. So Rav Moshe tells us that the mission says, V'loy zu bavad. Don't just think that going to save a life or going to say Kiddush HaChodesh is something that if you have to be Mechal Shabbos, you have to be Mechal Shabbos. What could I do? The mission is teaching us so much more. The mission is teaching us that saving a life is completely mutter. It's as if you were never Mechal Shabbos and you could even go back. And therefore, Rav Moshe was very mekel on Hatzalah members going back, driving, doing Chil Shabbos, even after they finished their Hatzalah calls, or a doctor who traveled to the hospital and doesn't want to remain in the hospital and it's difficult for him to walk home, that he could drive home. Not all Paiskim agree with Rav Moshe. Interesting, Rav Shlomo Zalman had a much more stringent approach to the Shaila. Everybody should ask their own Shailas. Bailahu, ask the Gemara a spelling question. When the Mishnah uses the word Beis Yazik, is it Beis Yazik with an ayin? Or Tanan or Beis Yazik with Adonayin. What's the Nafkamina? Beis Yazik Tanan, which means Lishtam Al Yehu. It's a nice, it means that it was a good place. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, Vizakeyu Viskaleyu, he put a gate around it, and it would look very nice. Or Dilman Beis Yazik Tanan, Lishtam the Tzara, means they were chained to this place, and it means that they were stuck remaining in this courtyard to hold Shabbos. The Ksiv, V'hu Osir Bazikin, Toshma, Sudas HaGdolos Oysasham, Kedei Shirgim Lovoi. So we see that it was a wonderful place. They got these great dinners. It's like the Mara, Dilmatate Avdabahu. Just because they got a great dinner doesn't mean that it wasn't an uncomfortable place. It could be that it was an uncomfortable place on one end. That means it was bought on the, and they were stuck there. But, and that's why we use the word Yazik without an ayin. But on the other hand, they were compensated somewhat by getting a good meal. Tosfos has a different approach to understanding the Gemara Shaila. Is Beis Yazik with an ayin, was this courtyard a large area? Or Beis Yazik, was it a courtyard that was a small area that was difficult to work in? Says the Gemara, Ketzer Baitkin Asa Edom. How did they examine the Edom? Zog Shabar Rishon, the first pair, Baitkin Asa Rishon, were first examined. Machnissin Sagol Shbehen. They bring in the elder of the two Edom, Vamalai Emma Ketzad Reisus Lavana. Describe the moon. Was Lifnei Acham or L'Achar Acham? This goes back to something that we learned the other day. When the moon rises at the beginning of the month, it's behind the sun. It comes up after the sun, and it goes down. It comes up after sunrise, and it goes down after sunset. If the Edom, at the beginning of the month, say that they saw that the moon went down before sunset, that means that they obviously didn't see the moon. They must have seen something else. L'tzvayna or l'drayma, was the moon to the north or the south of the sun? So again, the Mefarshim explain. When the sun comes up at the beginning of the month, at midday, is at its most southern position. Then it goes back down towards the west and also towards the north. It takes a northwest direction. The moon, which we just said, follows the sun, is also in the north. So if they say that they saw the sun in the south, they obviously didn't see the moon. Kama Yugoiva, how tall was it? The Gemara will explain this question tomorrow. Lion Hayunaita, exactly which direction, you know, the moon at the beginning of the month, again, we discussed this, looks like a crescent. So was the open space facing the sun, or was the open space facing away from the sun? V'kama yirachav. And how was it? Im'om l'fnei acham, so as explained before, if they say that the moon was, went down before the sun went down, le'meklum, they're obviously making a mistake. V'akachoy mechnisim sasheni. Then they brought in the second witness, Ubaitkin Isai, and we examined them. Im nimtzu dvrei mukhvanam, if the two Eidus they said are coordinate, Eidus and Kiyamis, then we accept it. So the Mefarshim make a few points here. First of all, these aren't the only questions that they're asked. They're also asked the standard questions that the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin teaches us. They're asked, what day was it? What date was it? What day of the week? Those are the standard questions. Here we're speaking about specific questions. So the sort of Mefarshim ask, what does it mean, im nimtzu devreim mechuvonim? What's the word nimtzu? It should say, im devreim mechuvonim. So I saw two answers to that question. One answer is that the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin that the two Edom are examined independently to see if they didn't have any collusion here. Let's say that they say the exact same thing. That's a proof that something's wrong here. How did they say the exact same thing? So it says, im nimtzu devreim mechuvonim. If they're approximately the same, it's fine. If they're exactly the same, then we know there's something wrong here. Another pshat that I saw is im nimtzu, as we've been learning, Beis Din really could make a calculation when the moilit is. Says the Mishnah, im nimtzu, everything they say has to work in to the calculation that Beis Din made when the moilit is. If what they're saying isn't in sync with when we know the moilit is and where the moilit should have been, then we don't accept what they say. There's another shaila the Mefarshim ask. The Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin discusses that Eidus cannot say Eidus one without the other. And here we see that we interviewed each one separately. So I saw two terutzim. One terutz is, as we've been saying over the last couple of shurim, for Eidus Kiddush HaChodesh there are different rules. Another terutz that I saw is that, going back to something we discussed yesterday, this was just a pre-screening. They were screened separately. Once we see that they are more or less in sync, then we call them in to say Eidus to Beis Din together, because Halacha is the two Eidim have to say Eidus together. V'shakal zugus. Once we have two witnesses that we accept, and we know when Rish Chodesh is, Shalom HaSeh Rosh HaDvarim. We still go through the interview process. Says the Gemara, Lo Shei Yitzrichim Lahem. It's not that there's a need to ask them any questions, because we already know the facts. El Kadesh Lo Yotzu B'Pak HaNefesh. If a person went all the way to Yerushalayim in order to say testimony, and we'll send them home with having said nothing, they're not going to say, they're going to feel bad, and they're not going to want to come again, and we want b'shvil sheyiregeim lavoi, they should come again. Ask the Gemara, hainu lefnei hachama, hainu l'tzfoina, hainu l'achachama, hainu l'drama. As we described before, sunset precedes moonset, and that also is always on the north side. So why are we dividing it into two questions? Amar b'ayah, Pigamasa, the question of Droim and Tzvoina is like we explained. Pigamasa lifnei chama is the crescent facing the sun, that the empty space is facing the sun, or lacha chama. Im amal lifnei chama, if we say that the empty space is facing the sun, we know loyam aklum, that it's incorrect. Dom Rav Yochan, maidik siv, hamshul ufachar imoy, oysa shalom b'mroivam. Ma'olam leirosa chama pigamasa shalavona. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world that the moon, the empty part of the moon, should never be seen by the sun, should never face the sun. And the same when you have a rainbow, it doesn't, the empty space doesn't face the sun. So the Mashal explains the Gemara very beautiful. We know, Rashi teaches us this in Parshas Bereishis, that originally HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world that the moon and the sun were equal. Came the moon and said, you can't have two kings. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Holchem miyate etzmech. You should become smaller. Says the Marsha. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a punishment, it's exact. Not too much and not too little. So what happened here was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that the moon should become smaller. A very significant punishment. But that's the extent of the punishment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. He didn't want any more. If it also would be that the sun would face the Begima of the Levana, that's not part of the punishment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed. And that's why it never happens. Pigimasoi Shalkeshes, we don't have the rainbow facing the sun. The Loi Amri Ad Chavim Girkam Shadja. There were, that if it would look that way, it would look like a bow and arrow. And it would look like the sun, so to speak, the people who it looked like the sun is shooting arrows into the rainbow. And people in those days used to worship the sun. And we don't want to have a situation where people will say, you see how powerful the sun is? So Kosh Baruch Hu created the world that should never look that way.